We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz, and this week, a crisis got worse for one of the world's biggest automakers.
I apologize to the customers for the troubles and worry they've suffered in various areas and because of various recalls.
You need to get on this. You got a problem. You need to fix it. Find the fix.
That was Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood, and before that, Akio Toyoda, the president of Toyota Motor Company, on the news that Toyota was recalling 8.1 million cars worldwide because of an acceleration problem. Our regular news analyst, James Fallows, joins me from San Francisco this week. And Jim, I know you don't like shoveling snow, but when you get back here to Washington, you won't have much of a choice. I can tell you that.
Well, I'm glad to. I will say that weirdly, I am missing being there for this spectacle, but I know that probably sounds bad if you're in the middle of it. So good luck.
Okay. Far and away, the story that dominated the headlines this week was, of course, the Toyota recall. And Jim, for so many people, that word, Toyota, has for so long been a synonym for reliability.
Oh, it certainly has been. I remember when I was living in Japan 20-plus years ago, when I'd go to some of the Toyota factories and interview people about why their cars were so popular worldwide, there was this argument that something intrinsic in the Japanese way of doing business and Japanese education, et cetera, led to this very high quality standard. And certainly that's been true in the long run. But what's interesting to me about this case, entirely apart from the merits and some of the dangers, is I think it's the rare opportunity for Americans to sense the way some American failures have looked from outside the country in the last couple of years. That is, Toyota has been so synonymous with high quality, and it's shocking to have this problem for them. So too, the American financial system. Everybody thought in the rest of the world, oh, these American financiers know just what they're doing. Mm. When that's turned out not to be the case, it's led to the same kind of reaction we're having about Toyota now.
Jim, this week it became clear that Greece and perhaps Portugal, maybe Spain, might actually need to be bailed out by other European countries in the Eurozone, the countries that share the common currency, the euro. This is potentially very bad news for the U.S. dollar and I suppose for the U.S. economy, right?
You know, this is, of course, a huge tangle, and so I'll only try to make a couple of points that I think are interesting and maybe underappreciated. One is what's happening now in Greece and Portugal and the ripple effects around the world. It's the next shoe, you know, the 100th shoe to continue to drop from this, the last 10 years of an unbalanced world economic growth. It was unbalanced in its regional phases where you had China doing so much producing and the U.S. doing so much consuming and borrowing. It was unbalanced in kind of the asset bubble aspect in many other ways. So this is going to go on for a long time, and these phenomena, in a sense, are all connected. The other thing I'd say is that this is another reason why it's going to be a tough time ahead, I think, between the U.S. and China, or really China and the rest of the world. The Chinese, in order to kind of preserve their trade surpluses and preserve their manufacturing base, have for the last now almost 2 years kept the value of their currency at a pegged level to the U.S. dollar, which has meant that it's been going down and down and down against the euro and the yen and other currencies as they have risen against the dollar. This makes it very, very hard for the Chinese economy to come into better balance with the rest of the world or for other economies to balance with China's. And so there's been friction about this between the U.S. and China for many years, and especially in the last 2 or 3 months. I think this is going to be the next big thing where there actually is a confrontation between the countries.
Jim, a topic we've talked about from time to time, the filibuster, and the difficulty in getting anything done in the U.S. Senate without 60 votes is being very clearly illustrated in a move taken by Alabama Republican Richard Shelby. He is actually blocking 70 pending White House nominations for jobs in the federal government because he wants money to fund certain pet projects in his state.
This really is something that I am not aware of any literal precedent for what Senator Shelby of Alabama is doing right now, of essentially calling the whole nomination process to a halt for his own, you know, parochial concerns. And while I usually try to sort of lay out issues in an even-handed way, I think this is what's happening in the Senate in the last few months, and this last week just is bad for America, bad for democracy, bad for our ability actually to concentrate on issues that matter, because if you have one senator able to gum up the business of the entire institution or a minority of senators able to stop bill after bill after bill, this is not what the founders had in mind, and it makes it very difficult to do the nation's business, whichever party is in control.
And one senator, Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, is actually trying to introduce a bill, and he's done this in the past, to end the filibuster, to remove it.
Yes. And as a technical matter, this can be done at the beginning of each 2-year session of Congress. So it would be pretty tricky and probably not even in the cards in any sense to do it for this year. But a year from now, when a new session of Congress begins, it would be possible for the Senate to adopt different rules
Finally, Jim, I know you are a Redskins fan, but I've got to ask you your pick for tomorrow's game.
Ooh, saving the toughest ones for last. I'm not as conflicted as Archie Manning would be with a son on one team and his history on the other team, but I guess I would say my heart goes with the Saints, but my head goes with the Colts.
That's James Fallows. He's national correspondent for The Atlantic. Jim, thanks, and safe travels back here to Washington.
Thank you, guys. Stay warm.